Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and God bless you. Welcome to the Morning Manna with your host, Apostle Diane Chappelle. Excuse me, greeting you this morning in Jesus' joy. Praying that you've had a wonderful week and that this is beginning to be the beginning of another wonderful week. Glory to God. It's an exciting time to be alive. It's an exciting time to be in Him, for sure. Okay, and so we rejoice in this hour. Much going on, so let's see what the Holy Spirit will speak to us today. Amen. Oh, Father, we bless you. We do give you praise. We honor and magnify your name. We thank you for yet another day, another opportunity, Father, to praise you, to worship you, to yield to your will and to your way, just to embrace you as we always do. In our love and thanksgiving and gratefulness unto you. We just give you praise. Thank you for this city of Detroit and other cities that join us every Sunday morning. We thank you, Father God, for the assignments that you've given to cities and that you brought us in alignment with those assignments that we can operate in your will to manifest your glory in the midst of dark and spiraling downward world, if you would. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for showing up weekly to speak into our lives and give us direction as to our purpose, our calling, the will of the Father as he manifests in and through our lives in this season. We thank you for your presence. And Father, once again, I thank you for everyone that's by phone or internet that connects every week. I pray, Lord God, that you continue to shower manifold blessings before them, upon them, that they will operate in victory every day that you send their way. And for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, bless the Lord. Good morning again. Good to have you on board. We had such a rollicking good time on last Sunday. Amen. We are moving on and seeing what the Lord is saying in this season. On my episode information I have on there, we've heard the statement, God is in control. And how exact is that statement? And I wanted to look at that today. Because if God is in control, is in fact in control, why does the earth, since the time of its creation, have seasons of being out of control? Why does the earth, why do we historically find the earth spiraling downward towards its own demise? Is God in control or is people out of control? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves, amen, so that we can get clarity. How does this thing go? Is God in control? Or are we saying God is in control in order to excuse us from being in control, glory to God, or excuse us from operating according to God's purpose and plan in the earth? We've heard that a lot over the last few weeks since the election and since the inauguration. You know, to explain everything that's happening, we hear, and I'm speaking to the church, okay? Everything that's happening, we hear, well, God is in control. Well, not necessarily so. God is in control through us, who he's put in control in order to keep the earth moving in the manner which it should. He's just not sitting in heaven pushing buttons. Okay, amen. No, he's got us in the earth, and we're to be manifesting his glory in the earth. And if we manifest his glory in the earth, then the earth has to come in alignment with his glory. If you hear what I'm saying, God is saying to us that we can no longer use the excuse that he's in control. No, he sent us in the earth to be in control. And so we have to first, once again, take a look around us and see where the earth is right now, see where it's been through generations, and see where it appears to be going, and then hear what God is saying. Okay, the first scripture, of course, that hit my spirit when I saw that this morning was Matthew 6:9, of course, the Lord's Prayer. And it's in the Amplified, it says, pray therefore like this, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, that verse 9, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That verse 10 speaks volumes. When you look at it, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is his will to be done on earth? His will is to be done on earth through us, his children, that he has put in the earth and brought into places of alignment with the Holy Spirit and with his will to see that the earth comes in alignment with him, with his wishes. Someone said to me the other day, the scripture, Psalm 115:16, said that someone had explained that away as being that we were in man was in control of the earth, and if the earth, what I understood, if the earth spirals out of control, it's because man is in charge or something of that nature. Well, no, that's not the intent of that scripture. God is to put earth in charge of his created order that are in alignment with his purpose, not just all mankind just to wreak havoc. No, that wouldn't make sense. No, that is in those who become in alignment with him that we become the agents of the kingdom. We become the ones that are sent into the earth to bring the earth back into his possession. If there is no pattern, if there's no paradigm, if there's nothing shifted or created in order to bring the earth back, then why was Jesus crucified? If everything was going to be status quo and dependent on just blanket human nature in order to accomplish that task, then why would he have been crucified? No, we're to bring the spoils back to the king, and we can't do it unless we are his king and priest. Ordinary man cannot do that because they aren't equipped to do that. In order for that to happen, there has to be involvement of the Holy Spirit. There has to be involvement. There has to be involvement with the name and the blood of Jesus. There has to be a name with the holy company of angelic assist. It has to be a tie-in. So the only way it can be a tie-in is that it has to be in that place where God can operate through his agents in order to get his kingdom back in his possession. The land is his spoils. The kingdom is his spoils. The land is what Satan grabbed hold of. Adam gave the land over to Satan. Well, the land was Adam's charge. He was supposed to be the one to keep the land, and he violated that by giving it over to Satan. And we have come through the power of the blood of Jesus to take it out of the hand of Satan and give it back to God. So we have to know that, God is in control as much as we allow him to be in control of us, okay, all right, because everything is operating through us, not through the Father. So we understand that. And then another way, the other place where that's used, it's used as an excuse to allow, que sera, sera, whatever it shall be, if it happens, well, God is in control. Why worry? Well, why worry is because he didn't put us in the earth for him to do it. He put us in the earth for him to do it through us. We're his agents in the earth, so we have to function in the earth according to his purpose and plan. Now, the danger in seeing this any other way is that we put ourselves in position to later on be held accountable for the negative things that happen in the earth simply because we were inactive, that we waiting on God to do it, or God was already in control and his will was already being done. And those are the excuses when it speaks of God's will. His will is that all would come to the knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. That's his will. His will is that all would be saved. But we can't shove off the will, his will, as anything that happened in the earth is his will. No. So what that does, it causes us to confess inactivity. It causes us to be in a position where we are not allowing ourselves to be accountable for anything that we are to do in the earth, that we just put it all on God. It's his will. He's in control, and so be it. No, he's in control as we are in control. That the earth is the same, once again, as the same assignment, the same revelation that was given to Adam in the beginning in Genesis. Take dominion. It's never changed. It's never changed. God is not a change agent that he just goes and he just changes things. No, it's never changed. It's still the commandment. Take rule, take dominion, and have insight, oversight of the earth. It didn't change. Adam broke covenant, but the covenant was still the same. It read the same way. It meant the same thing, that man would be given dominion and rule over the earth. Adam broke covenant by giving the earth over to Satan. Jesus came and died and shed his blood that the earth would go back to us, and we would return in the position that Adam had lost so that we could release the land, the earth, the people, if you would, back into the hands of the Father. Understand, when we talk about land, when we talk about earth, we're talking about people. Okay, we're not talking about dirt and stone. We talk about people. People are the land. We are the land. We're the ones that were sold short by Adam, and we're the ones that God wants back. So how does he get them back? He gets them back through his agents, through us, that we return, that we go and invade the land, so that those being held hostage by the land that was actually supposed to be their blessing are retrieved out of that place of damnation, if you would, and return to that place of union with the Father. So there's work that we have to do, and it has work that we have to be cognizant of. We have to be constantly aware why we're in the earth. We have to be aware and reminded, and we all have to be aware and reminded. We have to be reminded because so many things in the earth realm are working against our ability to keep that in focus. So many things that we encounter in the land, in the earth, in our lives are being, if you would, influenced by the negative things in earth that will draw our attention away from our quote-unquote assignment, so that we're operating from another realm instead of from the realm in which we've been sent into the earth to get the kingdom back. Amen. So therefore, we have to be cognizant of that reality so that we can function in it, and we do not allow it to function in its own or go in its own direction or do its own thing. No, we're the controlling element in the earth, and we're a controlling element in the earth by the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. That's the controlling element in our earth, okay, in us, okay. He's the one that is giving direction. He's the one that's leading and guiding and operating through us so that we can manifest the Father in the earth simply by what we yield the Holy Spirit to do in our lives. And so we have to be conscious of that, and we have to move in that manner, because if we don't, the enemy will once again outdistance us in deception and the distractions and all these other things that we cannot function in simply because we have been deceived or shifted. Our purpose has been shifted in our own mindsets because of the things that are going on around us. So we are, he's in control. He's in control through us. We don't have a past in this. We have a responsibility to move according to Father's purpose and plan. so that we go back and we have to start asking the Holy Spirit to give us revelation on how we knit these things together. How do we see these all these operations in the earth from the elections through the language of transition, through the language of reset, through all of these signals? How do we connect these signals and understand they're signals, and these signals aren't just all given just to one person and all of a sudden they just work it out? No, God has positioned us in the earth to be recipient of particular systems or signals that only when they come together are they able to make sense. Is there clarity? Is there understanding? Once again, it's like puzzle pieces. Amen. You have puzzle pieces. We're all a puzzle piece. Well, we are the whole puzzle, so we don't have the whole answer. We have to be connected to other parts of the puzzle in order to get a clarity and an understanding of what the picture is supposed to look like. Amen. And I believe God did that for our own protection, because once it cuts across pride, it cuts across being in a position where we think we're grander than others, and you know, that's just human nature. It puts us in a place of knowing and understanding that we are relying on one another. We can't run this thing alone. We can't run this thing on our own thoughts. We can't run this thing on our own opinions. We can't run this thing on our own assumptions. It's only one thought, only one opinion, and only one assumption, and that's God. And so He releases those and gives those unto us, so that we can be the carriers of that segment of the reality of kingdom, if you would, or the reality of God's purpose, that we're the carriers of that particular piece that must be joined to the other pieces in order for the whole to manifest. Okay. So we look at, once again, we look at transition, and you've heard me say how transition broadens out. It starts at one little narrow place, and then as it moves forward, it begins to broaden out or expand until it gets to a wide place, and the capacity of that place is able to hold all things, everybody. That's why in that place you find a lot of confusion and a whole lot of other things going on. And then it begins to narrow, begins to thin out as it begins to come to its place of purpose, as it begins to close out, if you would. It begins to narrow out. So all these things that happen in the swelling portion, if you would, in that place where I like to say the good, bad, and the ugly at the table, in that place, that's the place where future decisions are being formulated. That when we come out of that place, then there's some things that are going to be decided and determined by God, and yeah, it will be His will. And He will be in control, but only as He's operating through His agents. He's not sitting us aside and saying, just sit down and leave that alone. I got this. I'll do it. Y'all don't know what you're doing. No, that's not the way it works. Mm-mm. We're going to get it. Amen. We're going to get it, and we're going to get it right because that's the way He has orchestrated it. So we find ourselves in this place of reality. When I say reality, getting into a place where we understand with a greater understanding, if you would, what God is saying or doing. And we operate from that place. This is why it is dangerous for us to put our own opinions in things that God is doing without asking God what He's doing. Amen. This is why we can't run in group. We can't run in a crowd. We have to be chiseled in our hearing. In other words, we have to hear in the midst of a noise. We have to hear what God is saying in the midst of noise. Because if we don't, we will get deceived and we will get tripped up by the noise as it's going on around us. I did a presentation on Monday night to I lectured to a class of prophets, and one of the things that I said was that prophets have a tendency to stand alone because we know that we are influenced by what we hear, and what we hear has to be coming from the throne room. I said to them, I said, you know, we get to a place we can't go to the party. We can't be at the dinner. We can't be entertained because we have to be able to hear. We can't go everywhere where there's an invite. We have to be able to hear. And in fact, we can't go unless we've been sent, really, because we have to be able to hear. So we're in this place of hearing, and we're in this place of hearing in the midst of noise and confusion so we can hear what God is saying. We just came out. We're probably still in a place of noise and confusion, and that has to do with the election and the inauguration and everything else that has to do with President Trump and the voices that are coming out of the earth in this time and season. Well, if you aren't, if we aren't chiseled in our hearing, okay, I like that word, then we're going to miss what God is saying. We're going to opine, if you would. We're going to pick up the opinions of others, because that's going to be the greatest influence. Listen. We're influenced by the greater noise. We're influenced by the greater of a situation, because it's almost as if it's a casting of a vote. Influence does just that. It influences us. It controls. It impacts the way we think. It impacts the direction we take. It impacts all things that involve us. Influences do that. So why would we put ourselves in a place where we're being influenced instead of by that which we are to conquer, instead of being influenced by the King who gives us direction on how to conquer that which needs to be conquered? Amen. So once again, we are in this Thy kingdom come on earth, Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done is a reality that we have to operate. And the only way we can operate is from the pattern of glory itself. We don't know what it looks like until the Holy Spirit reveals it. So we have to operate from that place. So in that space where we are right now, yes, God has done something, and He's done something through us, through His, and when I say us, through His agents that I yielded to Him. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, Jesus had been in prayer. While something the Lord revealed to me last week when I was sitting in a service, He said before every major miracle Jesus ever created, He went away and spent time with the Father in prayer. We have to be in that place of separation so that we can hear Him in prayer, because if we don't hear Him in prayer, we'll hear us in opinion. If we don't hear Him in prayer, we'll hear someone else's opinion. And listen clearly. Someone else's opinion is probably going to draw our attention faster than God's word, okay? Because man's opinion taps into our carnal nature, and we all have carnal nature. Think about it. So if I'm walking in carnal nature and opinion comes from carnal nature to my carnal nature, I'm going to be quick to yield to that carnal message or that carnal whatever, because it's hitting me in a familiar place. Hear me this morning. Hear me this morning. That's why we can't be locked up and tangled up with folk all the time. We have to be separated so we can hear God and hear Him clearly, because we have to hear Him through the spirit, through the ear of our spirit man, and not through the carnality of the nature of our carnal man. We can't. We've got to hear Him clear, especially in seasons such as this. So if President Trump wins the election, whatever happens in the interim of time, we can't judge that or view that from our carnal perspective. We have to get that information through Holy Spirit, and that means we have to be open to hear what Holy Spirit has to say. And if he doesn't say anything, open to wait until He does. Amen. It's a refining that we're going through right now. We have to be in position where we hear God clearly so that we can function according to His purpose and plan. So if God is in fact in control, why does the earth, since the time of creation, have seasons of being out of control because there's people out of control. Okay. Not out of control intentionally, but out of control in not understanding that we are his agents. I say that all the time. And I say it in my own hearing so that I can become comfortable with it and as well understand exactly what does it mean. What does it mean to be an agent of the king? How do we function as an agent of the king? What does an agent of the king look like? What does an agent of the king do that other agents do not do? And that has to be something that's ironed out in our total understanding of who we have become this side of the cross so we can function as his agents and not just function. Amen. So the earth spiraling downward is God bringing us into a place of revelation so that we can operate according to his purpose and plan and move successfully into that other place. We have crossed the barrier. We have crossed the bar. We've entered into another season. We have entered into another place, and it's shifting fast. There's an acceleration that's happening, and it's happening quickly. And we have to, once again, be not deceived by the activity of the earth and get caught up in the activity of the earth and miss what God is doing and saying in our own personal activity. Amen. This is drawback time. Amen. This is drawback time. This comes to that season of rest that I've talked about, that tranquility in the midst of chaos. Okay. That comes to that segment. How does that operate? What does that look like? How is that defined? How do you walk that out? What is the purpose of that? All those questions have to be answered. Even before we can get into the rest, we have to know all those answers on the intricacies of tranquility in the midst of chaos. What is God saying to us in that? How do we walk that out? How do we explain that to someone that asks the question, what do you mean? How do you live in that place? And truly, we're called to live in it. We're called to walk it out. We're called to give answer. We're called to understand it, because it's all part of the process of getting us to the other side safely and bringing those with us that God has called, that has ordained in his hour to be the tip of the arrow. Here we go, the tip of the arrow again, the tip of the arrow as we move forward into the purpose and plan of God. So we have to be sensitive to what God is saying and doing. We have to be sensitive so we can grab it. We have to be sensitive so that after we can grab it, we can sit. We have to be sensitive after we grab it and sit, we can hear the Holy Spirit give us direction. We have to be sensitive after we grab it and sit and get direction, that we operate in it. We have to sit and wait for the Holy Ghost to give us definition and give us clarity. Because if we don't do that, we're going to figure it out ourselves. And when we figure it out ourselves, we're going to be wrong. We're going to be in error. So we have to move in that place in the timing of God, that he brings us into a place where we can understand the revelation and flow in that which God is doing. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if God has brought us to this place, or what I just said making sense, that means he's brought us to a place of going forward. He's brought us to a place of preparation for more. He's brought us to a place of getting greater clarity. He's brought us to a place of stepping out in another level of faith and understanding. But we cannot do it in our own. We can only do it as the Holy Spirit gives us guidance. He gives us guidance in how. He gives us guidance in when. He gives us guidance in how long. When do we start this process? How do we understand this process? How long does this process go that we bring in this place where we become even more qualified as change agents for the next move of God? God's not finished moving. He is not over. That's why I said, and the Lord said to me on the 9th of November, the day after the election, tell the church don't get excited. They didn't do this. In fact, they need to pray even more, get into a prayer position even more. There's more. And if there's more, and we're hearing there's more, that means that there's more being assigned to us, and we have to operate in more. Amen. So glory to God. I am about out of time here again. But thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven, is predicated on us hearing him and taking the accountability and the responsibility of knowing that it's happening through us, in us, through us, for nations, amen, that we have been released in this hour to function in that manner so that nations can hear the sound that we're hearing, because it is a sound that we'll release in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, we bless and magnify you once again. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for your manifested presence as you continue to lead, guide, and direct us along the path of bringing us more and more in awareness of who we are and who we are even now becoming, so that we can function in the earth according to the plan of the Father, that he may get the glory in all things, that he will be edified, that he will be lifted up, that all things will be attributed to him. And so for that, we give you praise. I pray over every listener. I pray, Father, for their week. I pray, Father, that for the breaker anointing to overtake them. I pray that the terror someone walked through will no longer be part of their testimony. I thank you that which has chased them has been cut off at the path, and now they continue on in the process of becoming what you have called them to become. I bless each and every one of them this morning. I give you praise for each and every one of them, and I prophesy that this is going to be a successful week for each and every one of them, and for that, we rejoice and we give you praise. We thank you, Father, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, guys, until next week, you've been listening to Morning Manna. This is your host, Apostle Diane Chappell, praying for you, and see you all next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.